You are told your health starts in your gut, but if you're a woman, it all starts with your hormones. When your hormones are off, everything is off, including digestive issues, mood, mental clarity, energy levels, weight management, and so much more. As the new year approaches, imagine hitting refresh and supporting your body with optimal hormone balance. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Perfect for enjoying the holidays and heading into the new year energized. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ATTWG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code ATTWG. Am I the only one who's kind of weirded out by the number of chemicals in cleaning products these days? So I started looking into what I was actually using around the house, and my laundry detergent turned out to be the worst offender. It's full of harsh chemicals like UV brighteners, dyes, and preservatives, which can wreck your skin or trigger allergic reactions. That's why I switched to Earth Breeze. It looks like a dryer sheet, but it's actually laundry detergent. Just toss a sheet into the washer with your clothes and that's it. No pouring, no mess, and no plastic jug. My laundry comes out fresh, soft, and clean without unnecessary chemicals. And right now, you can try Earth Breeze for up to 40% off with free gifts at earthbreeze.com/ATTWG. That's earthbreeze.com/ATTWG to get up to 40% off with free gifts on your first order.
If you've been listening to this show for a while, then you know that I'm a podcaster and a realtor. And on some days, like today, I have to do both. I spent all day in a courthouse watching a trial that we're covering, and then I had to drive an hour and a half away to put a lockbox on a new listing. It was a long day, to say the least, and normally I would have been exhausted at about 3 when I still had several hours to go. But I've recently been adding everyday dose into my morning routine, specifically into my morning coffee. And let me tell you, I was driving home late tonight and I felt great. Everyday Dose is coffee plus benefits. They combine high quality coffee with powerful ingredients like lion's mane and chaga, collagen protein, and nootropics to fuel your brain, boost focus, and give you clean, sustained energy all day long. It tastes just like coffee without the downside. No crash, no jitters, just clean, sustained energy. Right now for Black Friday, get 61% off your first Coffee Plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/ATTWG or use code ATTWG at checkout.
Darkcast Network. Indie pods with a dark side.
On December 11th, 1994, 4-year-old Dewan Sims went with his mother, Dewana Harris, to do some Christmas shopping at the Wonderland Mall in Livonia, Michigan. According to Dewana, they arrived around 1:45 p.m. and entered through the Target store at the mall. Dewan followed his mother around the mall until one horrible moment when Dewana realized her son was no longer by her side. A massive search ensued, but there was no sign of the little boy. As the investigation intensified, Livonia police began to wonder, was Dewan ever at the mall in the first place? Now, over 30 years later, investigators are still trying to figure out exactly what happened that cold December day and hoping to finally find Dewan. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Dewan Sims. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
and we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode and is here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. This is a story I've been wanting to cover for a while, but I worried that there wasn't enough information out there. But, you know, I figured a shorter episode would be okay after our 2.5 hour marathon from last week. Besides, as I dug into the original news articles when I was researching the case, I realized that there's actually a lot more out there than it may seem like from the more recent articles. Before we get started, though, we've had some new folks join us over on Patreon. So thank you so much to AK, Molly C, and Carrie. We really appreciate your support.
Thank you all so much.
As a reminder, if any of you would like to join them, you can get ad-free episodes at any level, starting at just $2 a month. You'll also get a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. So with that finished, let's get into the story of Dewan Sims. Dewan Christian Sims was born on October 29, 1990, to Dewana Harris and Zachary Sims. At some point, Dewana and Zachary split, and Dewan lived with Dewana in Detroit, Michigan. In late 1994, Dewana was in a new relationship with a man named Victor Jackson. According to Dewana, December 11th was a typical Sunday filled with chores and errands. She needed to vacuum her house and stopped by her mother, Beverly Harris's house, to borrow her vacuum cleaner. She also needed to catch up on laundry, so she and Dewan went to the laundromat where she did 5 loads. After that, the pair headed to Wonderland Mall in Livonia, Michigan, arriving at around 1:45 p.m. Dewana parked her Red Thunderbird, and she and Dewan entered through a Target. Dewana later said that the Target was too crowded, so she and Dewan went to the main part of the mall. The two walked around, passing several stores. They got to a KB Toys, and Dewan spotted some Power Rangers. Power Rangers was the little boy's favorite show at the time, but Dewana told him that they couldn't go in. They continued to walk, but shortly after, Dewana looked down and noticed that Dewan was no longer by her side. It's every parent's worst nightmare. You're in a crowded shopping area and your kid is suddenly gone. In fact, this situation has probably happened to a lot of parents who are listening to this right now. You've probably felt that heart-stopping panic before finding your kid a few minutes later hiding behind a clothing rack or looking at a toy or whatever.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
You know, kids dashing into clothing racks at Target or at any clothing store. Like,
they love hiding in those things.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a little encapsulated world for them, but it's terrifying for parents because we can't see them at all.
No, it is. And all of my kids have done that.
Yep.
And I can't even get that mad at them because I remember being little and doing the same thing. Because there's just something so nice about like smushing your body through all those clothes and going into the middle.
I don't think I ever did that.
It's really great. So Dewana began frantically searching for Dewan, but she didn't find him. She alerted a mall employee who called security. After a further search didn't turn up the little boy, the police were called. Once police arrived, they and volunteers launched a massive search of the mall and the surrounding area, but they still couldn't find Dewan. In those first days, local media broadcast Dewan's description and photo, and his image appeared on missing child flyers distributed statewide. Livonia police also expanded the search beyond the mall. Officers scoured nearby neighborhoods, parks, and even areas around Dewana's home in Detroit. Then patrolman Greg Yon, who would later become a Livonia police captain, recalled being assigned to search places like Rouge Park in Detroit. He told reporters about he and dozens of officers spent days crawling through every place a small child might hide or be hidden, saying, quote, "We had a lot of manpower invested in searching for him," end quote. By December 15, 1994, 4 days into the search, there were still no solid leads. Dewana appeared at a press conference that day, tearfully pleading for her son's return. Quote, "My only concern is finding my son. Whoever has my baby, I know he's safe and I know you're taking good care of him, but just bring him home," end quote. The public was on Dawana's side, and the story of Dawan's disappearance was covered daily in local media. I was actually really impressed with that when I was on newspapers.com looking for the original articles. It was literally something every single day.
Yeah, I mean, that's great because that's not something we see often in these cases.
No, and generally, you know, it wasn't front page, but Detroit is like a pretty big news media area.
Yeah.
So just the fact that they were covering it daily, I think, is a testament to how seriously they did take his disappearance. It was impossible not to empathize with a mother who was in such a nightmare situation. But public sentiment would soon begin to shift. After the initial panic died down and police started to talk to Dawana more about the timeline, they started to have questions. So in the intro, I talked about how Dawana looked for Dawan and then alerted a mall employee when she couldn't find him.
Right.
Well, Dawan apparently went missing around 2 p.m., but Dawana didn't alert anybody until nearly 2 hours later, around 4.
But didn't you say she was searching the mall herself?
Yeah.
For 2 hours.
For 2 hours without saying a word. Now, listen, I can understand not immediately calling 911.
Sure.
Because you're afraid you're overreacting, you know, like we said.
Or you're going to find him.
He's hiding, yeah. He's whatever. But to spend 2 hours looking in a crowded mall without alerting a single soul is just strange to me. Dawana didn't alert a mall employee, a member of security, or her own mother. Because here's another insane fact that wasn't reported on until several months after Dawan went missing. Dawana's mother, Beverly Harris, worked as a Detroit fire inspector. But in addition to that, she also had a part-time job at the shoe store in the mall, and she was working that day.
Get out of here. Come on.
But her daughter never came to alert her that her son was missing.
He's 4 years old. He knows his grandmother works at the mall.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know what he knows. You know, he just turned 4, so we don't know that Dawan knew that his grandmother was there.
Okay, fair. But wouldn't that be the first place that you would go? Well, I mean, obviously, the first place you would go is back to KB Toys.
Right.
But my mind, I would think, okay, if my mom works here and my son is missing, maybe he does know that she
right.
works there.
Oh, for sure.
Let me go there first and say, hey, have you seen him?
Or even if she doesn't think that Dawan knew that his grandmother was there, you still go there and go, holy shit, Dawan's missing.
Yeah, come help me find
him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what he looks like. Like,
let's
exactly.
go. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to bother with a description to mall security.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Soon, Livonia police were able to obtain and review hours of surveillance footage from security cameras inside and at the entrances of Wonderland Mall. Shockingly, they found images of Dawana walking the mall corridors, but there was no sign of Dawan. Not a single frame showed little Dawan walking with her, like she claimed. In addition, no shoppers reported seeing a child matching Dawan's description with Dawana that day. By December 21st, police went public with their suspicions. Lieutenant Pete Kunst of the Livonia PD announced, quote, evidence from the tapes at Wonderland would indicate that Dawan Sims was never at Wonderland, end quote. This revelation turned the case on its head. How could a child vanish from a mall if he was never there? The focus of the investigation shifted inward, toward the family and their inner circle. By now, Dawana had undergone at least 2 police polygraph tests, and according to news reports, she failed both. Hey there, I want to take a moment to recommend another podcast called Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse. Mind of a Monster is a podcast series from ID that dives into the minds of notorious serial killers like Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, and more. This season, they're exploring the chilling story of Kristen Gilbert, a nurse who murders 4 of her patients between 1989 and 1995, and is suspected of killing dozens more. Criminal psychologist Dr. Michelle Ward takes us inside Kristen's twisted mind, uncovering why she kills and how she manages to do it right in front of her colleagues. The entire season is out now, so you can binge it wherever you get your podcasts. I listened to Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse, and it was really interesting. It's obviously not the type of case that we do on this show, so it was fascinating to get a look into what could cause a person to do something like that. I binged the whole thing too, and now you can listen to Mind of a Monster, The Killer Nurse, wherever you get your podcasts. Did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common, yet often overlooked, nutritional gaps affecting 1 in 3 adults, especially women? I'm a lifelong vegetarian, and so getting enough iron has been a constant struggle. There are plenty of times when I tried to give blood and I couldn't because my iron was too low, especially in my 20s when my diet consisted of mostly pasta. So I have had to take iron supplements at various times in my life. So when Siderol from PermaNutra wanted to advertise with us, it was a no-brainer. It's a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea and constipation. It's vegan and gluten-free and 100% allergen-free and free from artificial colorants. So if you feel like no matter how much you rest, you're still running on empty, you're not alone. Over 2 million people have already discovered Siderol, and it could be the support you've been looking for. So head to PharmaNutra-US.com and use code ATTWG for 10% off your first order of Siderol. That's PharmaNutra-US.com, promo code ATTWG for 10% off today. Have you ever had a gut feeling about someone and ignored it? In the thriller Ask for Andrea by Noelle W. Eiley, that feeling could be the difference between life and death, and it may also be a message from the other side. So Ethan read this book even before I did and has a lot to say about it.
Cover to cover, I could not put this book down. It is such a page turner. It is an intense read. It takes you from one point of view to another and culminates in a very intense finish that keeps you on the edge the entire time.
So basically, it's 3 women were murdered by the same man, and they unite in the afterlife to stop him from killing again in a domestic thriller that meets The Lovely Bones. If you've ever screamed at a true crime doc, why didn't anyone listen?
This is the book to read for that.
Ask for Andrea by Noelle Eiley. For her part, Dawana believed that she was being unfairly scrutinized. Now, this was partly because the Susan Smith case had just happened 2 months prior in October 1994. Now, for those of you who aren't old like we are, Susan Smith was a South Carolina mother who lied about her kids being kidnapped during a carjacking before later confessing to their murder. Dawana insisted that police were zeroing in on her only because of that high-profile case involving a lying mother, telling reporters, quote, "I'm not going to stand accused of hurting my baby. I understand the world is sick, but that is not the case at this time," end quote.
Or they could be zeroing in on her because there's no security footage of Dawana actually being at the mall.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's huge.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know if they got any CCTV footage from the laundromat that she said that she was at with him as well.
Yeah, I will get a little bit deeper into the timeline later,
okay.
But I don't believe there was CCTV footage of that in particular. But we're going to talk more about everything leading up to the mall in a little bit.
Okay.
Because again, that really came from the article that I mentioned that was published like several months after Dawana's disappearance, the one in which I learned that Dawana's mother worked at the Flippin' Mall. Despite her denials, Livonia police officially declared Dawana Harris a person of interest in her own child's disappearance. The media, in turn, began scrutinizing her every word and behavior. Local newscasts replayed the surveillance clips showing her entering the mall alone. Talk radio and newspapers questioned the inconsistencies in her story. Under this cloud of suspicion, Dawana made a public stance, insisting that she didn't hurt her son and maintaining that Dewan must have been abducted by a stranger in the brief moment she wasn't looking.
Do we know any additional suspects, like Dewan's father or Dawana's new boyfriend?
Yeah, so what's so strange is they're barely mentioned in any of the 1994 news articles that I found.
Hmm.
Victor, her current boyfriend, is mentioned, you know, just in passing, and that, you know, it's her current boyfriend. But like, in terms of his alibi or what he was doing at the time or anything, I have not seen a single thing written about him.
And what about Zach, his father?
The only time he's even referenced, because I only found like one little sidebar article, and that's the only reason I know his name, was when police were asking for DNA samples from Dewan's parents, and Dawana didn't want to give one.
Oh.
Yeah, but Zachary, Dewan's father, did. So that's, I don't know if they eventually got a DNA sample from Dawana, but initially she didn't want to give one because she said that the police wanted her to just go with them to the hospital, and she just didn't want to go to the hospital with the police.
What?
I don't know. That's all that was written about it that I could find. But in terms of where he even lived or where he was, like, I have no idea. I don't know. You know, I have to assume they were, of course, looked into. I mean, it's been 30 years, but like,
one would hope.
There just hasn't been any public information on that I could really find.
Then, of course, the next question that I would have is, Do we have or have the police said anything about when there was actually a last confirmed sighting?
Yes,
of
Dawana? And that's why I dug into newspapers.com, because all of the more recent articles that I was able to find online when you just Google this case didn't say that. And that was driving me crazy. And so I was like, well, maybe the initial reports had that, and they did.
Okay.
So we are going to get into that.
Okay.
As Christmas 1994 approached, the case grew more baffling. Lieutenant Kunst expressed the investigator's frustration, saying, quote, "A child does not vanish in a vacuum. There are circumstances that surround an event. We're trying to put those pieces of that puzzle together," end quote. Police conducted extensive searches of Dawana's apartment and family vehicles for any sign of foul play. By December 22nd, after 11 days of exhaustive ground searches, Livonia authorities reluctantly called off the coordinated search efforts. After announcing that they were pausing the active search, Lieutenant Kunst told reporters, quote, "We feel that we have searched every area that makes sense to search," end quote. By then, Dawana had retained a prominent criminal defense attorney to advise her. It was a clear sign that she felt under siege from the investigation's trajectory.
I mean, I don't blame her. I mean, if her story is true, then yeah. And the cops are like digging into you as a suspect, you absolutely need a lawyer.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you well, absolutely need a lawyer.
Yeah.
So from what I read, she didn't necessarily hire him, but she was just getting advice.
Ah.
Investigators continued working the case, but leads were dwindling. Every tip that came in, sightings of a boy matching Dewan's description or rumors of Dewan's past, was run down by detectives without any result. The Livonia Police Department eventually handed over primary responsibility for the case to a multi-agency task force in Detroit. This is partially due to resources and partially because they recognized that if a crime occurred, it may have happened outside of Livonia, since they believed Dewan never arrived at the mall. After reading a few initial articles on the case and finding out that Dewan was never seen on surveillance at the mall, like we were just talking about, my first question was, when was he last seen?
Yeah.
You know,
are we talking months? I mean, he said he just turned four, so he may not have been in any type of daycare situation.
Clearly, that's what
too
I was
young
thinking
for school. So not somebody that would be seen by
an outsider.
An outsider.
Yeah, necessarily.
On a regular basis.
Right. And yeah, so our heads, of course, are in the same place because we've covered cases like that before.
Yes.
We've covered the case of Cody Bigsby, of Orrin and Orson West, where their parents reported them missing, and it turned out that they hadn't been seen in weeks or months prior to that. It should also probably be noted that the parents in both of those cases were convicted of murder. I read all of the recent articles that I could find, but nothing answered that question. Same with the initial articles from 1994. It wasn't until March 13th, 1995, that Joe Swickard wrote an article for the Detroit Free Press that gave Dewan's entire timeline. Now, Dawana Dewan and Dawana's boyfriend, Victor Jackson, had recently moved into a new home in a Northside Detroit neighborhood. Unlike Orrin and Orson West's neighbors, Dawana's neighbors recall seeing Dewan out frequently. They said that he was a friendly, energetic little boy, and Dawana always seemed to carefully watch over him. Dawana enrolled Dewan at Sunnybrook Day Nursery, so he had definitely been seen in the days immediately preceding his disappearance.
Okay.
Yeah. Further, on December 10th, so the day before he disappeared, Dewan and Victor had a date night planned, so Dewan stayed with a family friend, Stacy Puryear. On the morning of December 11th, Stacy was getting her kids ready for church while they waited for Dawana to come pick Dewan up. Now, I found this next part interesting, and this is directly from the article. Quote, Puryear said she had to remind Dewan to eat some breakfast. He was distracted by the anticipation of buying Power Rangers on a shopping expedition with his mother, end quote.
So proof that this was all planned. The trip to the mall, I mean.
That's what it seems like.
And we have proof that he was alive that morning.
That morning. And I find it so interesting that apparently Dewan knew about the Power Rangers and that he mentioned it to Stacy, who mentioned it in this interview. But then, according to Dawana, when they saw the Power Rangers at KB Toys, she told Dewan they couldn't go in and look at them.
I mean, this is a four-year-old's. Maybe he knew that they were going to the mall and he was thinking, I can go to a toy store at the mall and get Power Rangers.
Maybe, but it's so specific.
Or are you thinking, you're thinking suspicion wise that this woman might be kind of in on this whole thing?
No, I don't think that.
Okay.
I don't know what I think, honestly. I just think it's really weird that especially if you don't believe Dewana's story, and Dewan was never at the mall. Had they actually been planning on going to the mall, and that's why Dewan had this idea in his head that he was getting Power Rangers, and then something happened before, and Dewana still decided to go to the mall to build this alibi? But then, on the other hand, it's December 11th. It's 2 weeks before Christmas. Is
right.
She really going to tell her four-year-old that they can go buy toys?
No. I mean, my thought would be that's the reason why she specifically said, no, we're not going into the store.
Right. And that makes sense. I don't know. It's just, like I said, it just struck me as weird, and I don't really know what to make of it.
Hmm.
According to the article, it was between 1:30 and 1:45 when Dewan was last seen getting into his mother's car. And they didn't clarify where that was, though. So they didn't clarify if that was at the laundromat or if that was at Beverly's house when they were borrowing the vacuum, or, you know, like where that was, or if it was at their own house, or if 1:30 is when Dewana came to pick Dewan up from Stacy's house.
Right.
So I don't know. But apparently he was seen around 1:30 to 1:45 p.m. So it's really just the next 2 hours that's in question. Now, as we said before, it was around 4 p.m. when Dewana told a maintenance worker at the mall that her son was missing. Now, of course, being a mall, this was not an uncommon occurrence.
Right.
And the worker used her radio to alert mall security. They searched, and when they came up empty, Livonia police were called. Two patrol officers were sent out initially. They looked, couldn't couldn't find him, and then detectives arrived around 7 p.m. What police later found confusing was not only that she searched for 2 hours, apparently without alerting anyone, but that no one noticed her in that time. When mall staff and customers were asked later, no one remembered a frantic mother looking for a four-year-old.
Hmm.
What's also strange is that KB Toys is right next to the mall's business and security offices, which were clearly marked. So why not just go straight there? Or to the shoe store where her mother worked, like we said before.
Right.
But here's the worst part. And in my opinion, this is the closest we get to a smoking gun in this case. And I'm going to quote directly from the article here. Quote, closer reviews of the security tapes showed that it was not until 4 p.m. that Harris was seen entering the mall alone and going directly to the area where she met the maintenance worker. Dewan was not on the tapes.
There,
end quote.
There you go. So he's seen somewhere at 1:45-ish.
Yeah.
Getting into her car. Something happened. 2 hours later, she goes to the mall to create an alibi.
Yeah. But despite this, no arrests were made in Dewan's case. There had been massive searches of the area around the mall involving dogs, aircraft, ATVs, you name it. They searched Dewana's house. They searched her mother's house where Dewana was staying after Dewan's disappearance. But nothing turned up. Dewana's story didn't add up, but there was no actual proof that she had harmed her son in any way. And so the case went cold. By the 5-year mark in 1999, no arrests had been made. Publicly, no suspects were named either besides Dewana herself, but no charges were filed. Dewan Sims' fate was a complete mystery. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. Even better, you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. If you're like me, then you have different family members who have different ailments, and I've recommended Mood to all of them. I legitimately, before recording this, I told my mom about Mood, and she's going to make her first order. Because they have gummies for all sorts of things, for pain relief, for sleeping, for just improving your mood. Their gummies are specially blended and each one feels different. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out in 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I wake up feeling amazing. And each gummy is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but, as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order. This holiday season, comfort is slowing down and finding calm amidst the chaos. As the holidays fill up with gatherings, travel, and to-do lists, Avocado Green Mattress helps you create a space that's calm, cozy, and restorative. Avocado products transform your home into a peaceful, grounding retreat. They're made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. But more importantly, they offer unmatched comfort. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort, so you can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. And every product is thoughtfully made with the planet in mind, so you can feel good about the comfort and the quality you're bringing into your home. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado. Dream of better. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else.
you'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S., so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. Here are a few things that I'm getting. Unlock the Beer Escape Room. It's a cute little cage that you could put a six-pack of beer in, and then you have to do an escape room to get the code to open the cage. I am absolutely getting this for my brother-in-law because this is in his wheelhouse in every way. The DIY Root Beer Science Kit I'm getting for my 8-year-old because he has recently discovered root beer and he likes learning. So this is going to be a really fun project for the both of us. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/ATTWG. That's uncommongoods.com/ATTWG for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. During the late 90s, public opinion largely turned against Dawana. The media coverage, which was sympathetic in the immediate aftermath of Dawan's disappearance, grew more skeptical as police hints of motherly foul play became known. But Dawana and her family maintained that she had nothing to do with Dawan's disappearance. In 1999, Dawana's mother spoke to reporters about the toll of living under a cloud of suspicion. Quote, "Just think about trying to function every day with a missing child under all of the scrutiny and everything that has been said about my family. I can't begin to tell you how it has been, how my crying spells have not ended," end quote. Dawana granted few interviews herself, but whenever she did, she stuck to her story that Dawan was abducted by an unknown person and that she had nothing to do with it.
But there's video evidence that he was never at the mall, that he never came into the mall with her.
Yeah.
Like, so how are you going to stick to that story? And the timeline isn't correct.
Right. That she gave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And it's so strange because. Also, like, what was the motive if she did do something to him? There's no known history of abuse. Financial motive has been pointed to. So apparently, Beverly, Dawana's mother, had recently taken out a life insurance policy on Dawan that was worth about $25,000. So people were saying that this was a scheme that they all kind of cooked up together in order to get that money. But Beverly told reporters, she's like, "I just did that because my job offered it." Remember, she worked for the city of Detroit.
Right. Yeah.
And she was like, and it sounds like it was one of those life insurance policies that you could use it for other things. Because she talked about wanting to use it to pay for his college down the line.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then she told reporters, she's like, "I don't even think it's in effect because I haven't even gotten any money taken out of my paycheck yet for it. So I don't even think it's valid at this point." And so I never saw any follow-up on that, so I don't know if it was or it wasn't in effect, but that has kind of been thrown out there. In 2003, nearly a decade after Dawan vanished, Detective Sergeant Shelley Holloway of Livonia Police told reporters that Dawana was still the prime focus of the case. Quote, "We are confident that Dawan was not at the mall when his mother arrived there. She is the one and only suspect. We've looked at other things, but it always leads back to her. We think whatever happened to Dawan happened someplace else. But there is a lack of evidence, and that's why there has never been a charge," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, the inconsistencies aren't enough to prove a no-body case.
No.
Like, that's, there's just
no other evidence.
Right.
As the early 2000s came and went, Dawan's case remained unsolved and officially open. Age progressed renderings of Dawan were released periodically by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children in hopes that someone might recognize the boy's face as he would look as he grew older. But no credible sightings ever materialized. And I will say over the years, there were plenty of sightings. You know, there was a pretty major one in Florida, but of course, they all turned out to be other kids. The Wonderland Mall, the last place Dawan was reported to have been seen,
was shuttered and demolished in 2003. The community, especially in Livonia and Detroit, feared that the little boy's story was being forgotten. Yet, police like Greg Yon never forgot. In a 2024 interview, he said, quote, "If Dewan is out there somewhere, I would say your memory is not forgotten. That day's not forgotten." Yon and a handful of others who worked the original case still, to this day, talk about Dewan and wonder what really happened. Inside the Harris family, life had to go on, painfully. Dewan and Victor eventually married, and she gave birth to a daughter about a year after Dewan's disappearance. In 1996, she was arrested on misdemeanor domestic violence charges after threatening Victor with a knife during an argument. The couple eventually divorced, and Dewana later remarried, taking the last name Wiggins in later years. And I do believe she might have had another child or two as well. In 2008, she relocated to Durham, North Carolina, seeking a fresh start away from the Detroit media glare. That year, speaking to a reporter, Dewana described the years since 1994 as, quote, "very tough," end quote, but said, quote, "you've got to try to stay positive," end quote. Remarkably, she maintained hope that Dewan was still alive, saying, quote, "if he was deceased, I think someone would have found a body by now. I feel someone has him and is taking good care of him," end quote. And I don't know, maybe she said that because that's what happened. Maybe she didn't harm him. Maybe he wasn't dead. Maybe she gave him to somebody.
Maybe.
You know, it was so weird when I was going through all the old newspapers. One of the smaller articles about this was just a little sidebar. There was another story directly next to it about a mom who had been arrested for trying to sell her child in a mall parking lot.
Get out.
Yes. That's... Or no, it was the mom's boyfriend who was trying to do it. But either way.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Wow.
So, I mean, maybe it was something along those lines, because it clearly wasn't that, if Dewana had anything to do with it, it wasn't that she didn't want to be a mother, because she got pregnant
pretty quickly
yeah. after that, right? So maybe it was a situation in which Victor didn't want to raise somebody else's child.
Yeah, maybe.
And she thought that they needed to have a fresh start. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to back that up. That is just pure speculation. But I'm just trying to figure out what could have happened in 2 hours.
Well, I mean, a lot can happen in 2 hours.
Yeah, I know.
Who knows? I mean, yeah. There's just no evidence to point in any direction.
There isn't. But interestingly, in late 2019, that wish that Dewan was still alive somewhere being taken care of appeared as though it might have been coming true. On December 11th, 2019, exactly 25 years to the day since Dewan disappeared, Livonia police announced that a 25-year-old man had come to them claiming that he believed he might be Dewan Sims. The man, whose name was later reported as Mike Cash on social media, said that he had been adopted as a child, and while searching for his biological family, he saw a photo of Dewan and felt like he bore a strong resemblance to the missing boy. He also said that he had memories of living in Michigan as a small child. His bold claim quickly spread on Facebook and other platforms, stirring up a frenzy of speculation. Could Dewan have reappeared as an adult, not even knowing his own identity? Livonia police were cautiously intrigued because apparently this guy did actually look a lot like Dewan. I think they probably found other childhood pictures of him, and there was a resemblance. Detectives arranged to interview the man and, more importantly, to collect a DNA sample from him. On the 25th anniversary of Dewan's disappearance, they took the man's DNA for testing against Dewan's family DNA. Captain Tague told People magazine, quote, "It's a very odd situation," end quote, saying that the man asked for confidentiality, but had already broadcast his theory all over social media.
That's weird.
Yeah. The man had even reached out directly to Dewana on Facebook. Dawana later told the Associated Press that she did communicate with the man, saying, quote, "I reached out to him. We had conversations via Facebook. Once the story went viral on Facebook, I was trying to be compassionate. This is still an investigation. It's not a joke," end quote. However, Dawana also admitted that she was wary and didn't really want to be in the spotlight again. She eventually blocked the man on Facebook after he couldn't correctly answer some personal questions about Dawan's early life. For a couple of anxious months, investigators and the public waited for the DNA results. If the man truly was Dawan, it would mean a miraculous ending to a 25-year-old mystery and possibly an exoneration for Dawana. Police Captain Greg Yon said that when they first heard about the man's claim, quote, "the hopes are absolutely it would be him," end quote. But of course, Yon and others had to temper their optimism because the odds were that it wasn't going to pan out. In the end, science delivered the answer. It wasn't him.
I mean, I assumed as much since we're doing an episode on him.
Yeah, but it's always so heartbreaking when a situation like this happens.
It's heartbreaking, for, I'm sure, for Dawana, but also for this guy.
Yeah, because he thought he was getting answers, at least, right. You know?
Yeah.
Livonia police announced that the DNA test showed no match. The 25-year-old was not Dawan Sims, and Dawan's case remained open. Tragically, Dawana did not live to see a resolution in her son's case. In December 2020, Dawana died suddenly at her home in North Carolina. She was only 51 years old. Police said that the cause appeared to be a heart attack. She died just a few days before the 26th anniversary of Dawan's disappearance and was laid to rest one day after it. In the end, we don't know whether Dawana carried to her grave the burden of not knowing what happened to her child or the secret of what actually did. Livonia's former police chief, Robert Stevenson, openly wondered about that after her passing, saying, quote, "I think she had that secret. She kept it back and didn't share it with anyone, and then took it to the grave," end quote. Now, as of 2025, the case of Dawan Sims remains officially open and unsolved. The Livonia Police Department continues to encourage anyone with information to come forward. It's been 30 years, but investigators like Captain Greg Yon haven't forgotten that little boy with the bright smile. Quote, "This is something that nobody should have to keep quiet about," Yon urges, in hopes that even now, someone with knowledge or a long-buried secret might break their silence. The case of Dawan Sims is a heartbreaking story that leaves us with tough questions about truth, memory, and justice. Did Dawana really know more than she ever admitted? If so, why would a mother harm her own child? And how did she conceal it for so long? Like, that's the part that I don't know. It's so tough for me to figure out where he could have been put in 2 hours.
Or like you said, he is alive and she gave him away to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, he could still be out there.
Yeah.
Not that one guy, but maybe another one. If Dawana was truly innocent, then who abducted Dawan in a crowded mall that December afternoon? And how did absolutely no one notice? And how did he not end up on any video? Dawan Sims would be 35 years old today. In an alternate reality, he might be living a full life, perhaps with a family of his own. Back in 1994, Captain Greg Yon was a young officer and a father himself, and he admits that this case changed him forever. Quote, "As a parent, you think about your own kids. It weighs on your heart," end quote. 30 years later, the weight of not knowing still lingers with him. Quote, "The hopes are that maybe he is alive somewhere. The other end of that is potentially a life that was never lived," end quote. Do Jawan Christian Sims has been missing from Livonia, Michigan since December 11th, 1994. He was approximately 3 feet tall and 50 pounds at the time of his disappearance. He is a black male with black hair and brown eyes. Jawan was last seen wearing a blue hooded three-quarter length winter jacket over a yellow, blue, and green windbreaker, dark blue sweatpants, and low-top Fila sneakers. He was 4 when he went missing. He would be 35 today. If you have any information on the disappearance of Jawan Sims, please contact the Livonia Police Department's Missing Persons Unit at 734-466-2470. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at @ATTWGPod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketsa. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!